Good evening. This is KD2JWC, Net Control for the Black River Valley Service Net. My name is Matt. Net is held as every evening at 9 p.m. on a Boonville Amateur Radio Club repeater on 146.655 MHz. Repeater is located 2.5 miles southwest of Boonville on Jackson Hill. This is an informal net, and all interested parties are welcome to check in with or without traffic. Emergency traffic has priority at all times. It can break in at any time. Is there any emergency traffic? Come now, please. The Boonville Amateur Radio Club holds their monthly meeting on the third Tuesday of every month, except December, February, and March. Next monthly meeting will be April 19th, 7 p.m. at the Dodge, Pratt, Northam, and Art Community Center, 106 Schuyler Street in Boonville, New York. Everyone is welcome to attend, and amateur radio license is not required to become a member. If you are interested in becoming a net controller, please contact a club member and we can set that up. Should a net controller not start the net at 9 p.m. and still has not done so after a couple of minutes, please feel free to conduct the net yourself. You will find the net preamble on the website at www.boonvillearc.com. This is KD2JWC, Net Control for the Black River Valley Service Net. Are there any portable, battery-powered, or mobile stations wishing to check in? Come now, please. KD2JWC, Net Control for the Black River Valley Service Net. Are there any Echolink stations wishing to check in? We'll now pause for 15 seconds. Come now, please.
This is Kilo, Delta 2, Foxtrot, Papa Mike, Kevin James checking in through Echolink from Oneonta, New York. And Matt, there is one other station here besides us in the Echolink.
Any other stations on Echolink wishing to check in? Come now, please. Okay, KD2FPM, we'll start at the top of the list. How was your day today, Kevin?
All right, good evening, Matt, and hello to everyone up in the North Country. KD2FPM over here on the north side of Oneonta. And we got 31 degrees, clearing skies. I mean, there's a couple wispy clouds here and there, but nothing really get squarely over. And hopefully that wind is totally calmed down now. So, and as Matt, as I told you, my Jeep mods are showing up. Another box showed up at the parental unit's house today. So, looks like all the body armor parts are in. I was mistaken. I thought that one box was the latches for the windows. That still has not arrived. So, we're getting there. We're getting ready to roll with that project. And the windshield light bar is sitting in the box too, so that obviously, like you said, you know, I've told you and said before, won't be used for lights. It'll be used for radio antennas, so we're going to make better use of it. So my mini porcupine on four wheels, so that'll be kind of fun. So all right, I won't hold the repeater down. I will say 73 KD2FPM, back to net control.
Alrighty, Kevin, thank you for your check-in and update. I was wondering how the rest of the stuff was coming in. Alrighty, KD2JWC, Net Control for the Black River Valley Service Net. We'll now take calls from regular members and guests. Come now, please.
This is N2PFM, November 2, Papa Foxtrot Mike, N2PFM, good evening.
KC2WI.
WA. To you.
KC2NBU.
Okay. That acknowledges N2PFM, KC2WI, WA2U, and KC2NBU. Thank you guys all for checking in. And start at the top of the list. N2PFM, George, how was your day?
Here. Well, good evening to you all in the
that. They've got a temperature of 30 degrees on the mountainside. Temperature range today was 29 to 47, and we had lots of sunshine today, which was all very nice, for sure. My free donuts, Dunkin' Donuts today, like I do every Tuesday, and nothing, cut up some more wood, and nothing too much else to report. God bless, 73s and 2 PFM clear.
Alrighty, George, thank you for your check-in. Glad to hear everything is going well. Move down the list to KC2WI. Pete, how are you today?
KC2WI, not too bad. Didn't quite get back here as early as I want. I didn't leave early. I should know better than expect that ever going to happen. I was going to come back yesterday from Lake Pleasant, and I just kept working on various things, phone calls to customers, configuring some new systems, new server, this, that, and the other thing. And got late enough, I said, well, I'll stay and have dinner and leave early. And, of course, that didn't happen. I had to call a couple people, this, that, and the other thing. But I got out reasonable, 11:30 or something. And then stopped at my mechanics there, Bob J. there, and ran a guy back up, took his car and ran it back up to his place while Bob was doing something, and then we went in and went over some invoices. I paid him lots of money of stuff that he had done. But that took a while, so anyway. I'll make the same announcement here for anybody who's listening. In 2013, I think, the FCC wrote a notice of proposed rulemaking, or further notice of whatever, of proposed rulemaking and notice of inquiry, and the number is 13-249, and I'm reading this right off the ARRL letter here, proposing ways to enhance the viability of the AM broadcast service. And the Society of Broadcast Engineers filed comments on 3/22/16. It says that told the FCC that the regulatory agency needs to take another tack in its efforts to tackle AM revitalization. If the FCC takes the SBE's advice, there could be less noise in the MF and HF amateur radio bands. So basically what the Society of Broadcast Engineers said in response to this FCC notice proposing ways to enhance the viability of the AM broadcast service, which obviously has gone downhill, you know, AM radio business has gone downhill big time, starting in the late 60s with FM, and of course now it's getting even worse with all the other competition. But the big thing is, SBE said, the FCC must commit to a regulatory plan which over time will reduce the levels of man-made noise in the MF medium frequency bands and more broadly in the bands below 30 megahertz. And basically, you know, they pointed out AM is really susceptible from all kinds of electronic interference and from power line stuff. And the only way that reasonable way to have a chance to fix this noise floor problem is to put the regulations on the manufacturers and importers and dealers before the consumer or user gets it, because you know after that it's too late. And so they're right on the money, and of course that really affects us. And I say it's not even below 30 megahertz. It's up here at VHF. I got all kinds of problems too. And probably most people with a mobile rig will drive down the road and all of a sudden their radio starts making all kinds of noise from something. So I wrote a comment to this proceeding. And of course I phrased it you know, in reference to the problem of interference on AM radio, and I basically said, listen, I drive down the road. Some places in town I can't listen to AM. Some places even out in the country, I'm going by a power line. There's no houses or anything in sight, and it's still unusable. And by the way, you know, this is also a problem on other HF. And I don't know. But my point is, if 10,000 hams would write that same comment saying, hey, we can't listen to AM radio, nor can we listen to anything else in the HF because we have such problems, maybe we'd get somewhere. So it's real easy to do. Go to the FCC website, go to the apps.fcc.gov/ECFS, but you can find it pretty easily. And then on that page, you can search for proceedings, and if you put that number 13-249 in, you can see the original proceeding, and you can search for all the filings that people have made comments, and you can also submit one either by typing into a web form or, you know, putting your name and some things in the form and then uploading a document. And I recommend everybody do that, emphasizing, you know, the interference problem. So, and pass the information on to your friends, and maybe if we could just get this going, you know, eventually nationwide, just think what would happen if there were 10,000 comments that says, you know, we can't listen to AM radio either because of this noise, and you got to do something about it. And they would do something about it, I think, if it was that strong. So, especially, you know, it's not just hams. We're saying, oh, you know, business, AM broadcasting, business. So, anyway, that's the story. And Kevin James, you mentioned WGY. Go to their Wikipedia article here. Really interesting. They were like one of the first two stations in the country. Started in 1922. They are still 50,000 watts according to this. They changed from a T-top antenna in 1935, I think. And they're still using that same antenna today. So almost, you know, 100 years, 80 years, whatever, later, 70, whatever. They're using the same antenna. It's a half wave on 100 and, on, you know, 810 kilohertz, 600 and whatever feet, 625 feet. Constructed in 1938, it says. KC2WI.
Alrighty, thank you, Pete. I actually jotted some of that information down so I can recheck that article again. And WATU, John, how was your day today?
Very good, WATU. I'm just chuckling here. I've certainly got comments, but good evening to everyone on frequency and those out there listening. And let's see, had a good day today. Kathy and I walked about 5.8 miles today, so we got some exercise in. A little brisk out there, but that's okay.
27 degrees here at the northeast end of
Hinckley Reservoir. And Pete, you know how to put the pieces of wood in the fire and get something going. But I'll get to that in a minute. My text tip for the evening, I guess you'd want to call it that, I wanted to mention, I don't know if anyone's out there interested in really decent Bluetooth headphones. But Captain, I have a couple pairs of them. I have a pair, and I'm going to read this off, and they're Sony, and I think they're fantastic. They're a model Mic Delta Romeo - X-Ray Bravo 950 Bravo Tango. Again, that's Mic Delta Romeo - X-Ray Bravo 950 Bravo Tango. And they're kind of neat. They allow you Bluetooth. but you also can plug a conventional cable into them. You know, any length of cable you want, I guess, within reason. They go over their ear, so they're not the little earbud stuff you put in your ears and that kind of thing. They're the old-fashioned block out all the sound. The frequency range for serious listeners is 3 hertz to 28K. 3 hertz to 28K. And I use them all the time. They have a, of course, they're USB. I have a little charger for them, but some devices, they've a bass boost, which I can't imagine. I use it once in a while, but that really makes things rattle. And what else? Very low distortion, volume control on the headset. They're good up, I don't know, 25, 30 feet. And there's a button on the side. Some device, when I push that, it'll help me. I can jump tracks and pause things. So that's my tip for the evening. We were talking about that last night. They're Bluetooth, and I guess you can get quite a few hours of use out of them. Now, Pete, I used to do the shortwave and scanner net, and you bring up this AM thing, and immediately what comes to my mind, for those that have been around, is BPL. And all of a sudden now we've got a rehashing of, you know, when we were the hams and they wanted to put broadband over power lines in everybody's neighborhood, no one seemed to, this was the way of the future, and we're going to do this. Come whatever high water, we're going to have it happen. And the league got very involved in any way. But it's kind of really interesting. I followed a lot of the stuff that's been going on in the AM broadcast band. There was an era of stereo when they had the different, no one could agree on the stereo, whether it was Sequam or it was Motorola. They couldn't agree on the stereo format. So depending on what car you had, what radio station, a lot of radio stations tried AM stereo, which was quite interesting. And then there was some that had some sort of they would suppress the carrier, WFYR and stuff, and then they had the HD, and they've done a different thing. But it's just so interesting that a number of years ago kind of went away and everybody's forgotten it, but a lot of us that were involved in the league and in various capacities remember vividly, and Pete, I'm sure he did, the BPL debacle. It's just so interesting how the expression goes, things come full circle. Anyway, boy, we could burn up the airways tonight with that discussion and all the heartache that created. So, anyways, I'll turn it back over to you, Matt. WATU, listen.
Alrighty, thank you, John. Move on down the list to KC2NBU. Ray, how are you doing? Hopefully all is well.
Yeah, we're doing good. We got 32 degrees up on the hill here. And, yeah, Pete, good luck in getting the power companies to eliminate high voltage tension in their radio interference. If they knew of a simple, effective, inexpensive way to get rid of the loss, they definitely would, because it's wasted electricity. Whenever we have a bad insulator down here, we hear the interference on the scanners and the phones and the TV. It's one phone call, and they send a guy right out with a detector, and he takes his little four-wheeler and goes out into the woods, and he finds the bad insulators. They've been real good about that, because it's money coming out of their pocket if they're tarking someplace.
Alrighty, Ray. Thank you for your check-in. Were you done? Just checking. It almost sounded like an accidental microphone drop.
Yeah, I didn't want to time out the repeater.
Okay, alrighty. Thank you, sir. Alrighty, this is KD2Jet ABC in net control for the Black River Valley Service Net, looking for any further check-ins. Looking for any further check-ins. Come now, please. Are there any comments, queries, late check-ins at this time? Come now, please.
KC2WI.
Pete, go ahead.
The internet's a wonderful thing. I, you know, follow this, that, and the other thing. I'm looking at something now and talking about the original broadcasts and licenses, this, that, and the other thing. And if you look at the earlier stations, there's a huge list, 19, 20, and 21, 22, because that's when they got, you know, the regulations changed and they were, you know, issued licenses and that. But here it says the new, in December 1, 1921, the new broadcast service was assigned two wavelengths, 360 meters, which is 833 kilohertz, for broadcasting news concerts and such matter, and 485 meters, 619 kilohertz, for broadcasting crop reports and weather forecasts. Which is interesting. They just had two frequencies they assigned them. Not sure I understand that, but anyway. Yeah. Well, you know, the issue is worse than it's not. You know, sometimes you really know you've got an arcing, you know, an insulator. But boy, sometimes it's just a whole bunch of garbage that might not be quite that clear, and but it you know it's got to be power line noise just from listening to the stuff. And I can, you know, on 75 meters and to some extent 40, I can drive from, you know, say the other side of the river or even Blue Street. The closer I get to the center of town and come up the street here, the worse it gets. And, you know, the problem is what's causing it. Is it all from the power line and the, you know, transformers or whatever? Is some of it conducted back from houses into it? And, you know, I might try calling them again and say, listen, guys, you know, if I go from a quarter mile away from here to here, it gets really bad, so you guys got to come check it out. But whether they'll do anything with that, I don't know, or they'll come along and they'll say, well, we don't find any bad insulators, so not our problem, I don't know. Anyway, and, John, we should chat about this a little bit, maybe after everybody else is done here. It's pretty interesting stuff. KC2WI.
Alrighty, Pete, thank you. Any other comments, queries, late check-ins?
WAQ with a comment. Well, info, I guess.
WA2U, John, go ahead.
I guess we're into the notes, news, nonsense, whatever. I read a book a while ago. Kathy and I, we read a lot of, and it was a fascinating book. It was, I think it was called Sky... I usually keep a log. Sky Castle. Castle in the Sky. Sky. Well, anyways, it's about WFM, Whiskey Sierra Mike, and the construction of the station down in Nashville, Tennessee, and it was fascinating. Of course, which is still on. I think it's on 650, although that's not where it started. And years ago, they had... Ironically, they had stations called Clear Channel. Now, what does that sound like? Pilot and the rest of them? But anyways, Clear Channel station with, you know, and we hear 50,000 watts, and some of those back then were even more than that. And it reminds me that I haven't heard a lot about it, but I've been following it, that there's a new amateur band. I think it's a 620-meter band. It's 472 to 479. So if anyone has a radio that can go down into the low frequencies, that's where it's kind of a, that ought to be interesting. Not a lot of power down there, but 472 to 479, but I think it's called Sky Castle. It's the history about W2SM, and it's kind of a neat thing. They built a tower. It's shaped like a diamond shape. Now, yeah, a few people died building this thing. And the tower, you know, back in the day when this thing was built, was I think it was like 930 feet tall, which is pretty interesting, and had quite, as we use today, the footprint. So, very interesting topics, and the medium wave band, the people have used the medium wave band for running different tests and things. They've discovered with certain propagation when there's going to be an earthquake and a number of other different things. Anyways, I'll turn it back over to you, Matt, and we'll see how much time we have. Might join Kathy, she's watching some program here, people. We'll get together sometime and burn up the airway. So back over to you, Matt, WATU.
Okay, that sounds good. Thank you, John. All right, looking for any other comments, queries, or late check-ins at this time. Come now, please.
KC2WI.
KC2WI, Pete, go ahead.
Yeah, a couple of other interesting tidbits. The well, it sounds like if it's 900, it would be 975 feet would be three-quarter wave, or maybe it was a 5/8 or something. WABC, they said they built the half wave to lower the angle of radiation because they were getting some cancellation by out of phase, you know. But WABC is listed on as like one of the first, but WGY, 625-foot tower, which they're still using from 1938. And at one time, apparently, they said, and it says in 1926, they did some broadcasts at 100 kilowatts and 200 kilowatts in 1930, and they got receptions from New Zealand, you know, reports from New Zealand, but they never made the power increases permit. But yeah, WSM and, you know, the Grand Old Opry, I mean, that was the start of that. Anyway, yeah, interesting stuff, and, you know, we dodged the broadband over power line bullet because it just didn't work, is really what happened. But boy, there's still a lot more stuff. Anyway, we can talk about that some more. KC2WI.
Okay. Any other comments, queries, or late check-ins at this time?
Yeah, KD2FBM with a quick comment.
KD2FBM, Kevin, go ahead.
And WLS, I think, was the station out in Chicago we were talking about earlier. And, yeah, WGY, it's kind of interesting. When you drive up the end of I-88 from our direction, or if you come across the thruway from your way, you can see their tower as it stands right there at, I believe it's exit 25, right at the interchange there with I-88. And it's always quite mesmerizing to see that, because as you look at that tower, you realize the entire structure is insulated from ground, because that is the antenna, and you can see the insulators on the guy wires, which is really kind of cool. And a quick little side note, speaking of firsts, WRGB TV6 in Albany. I forgot what the original call sign was, but they were the first TV station, I guess, to experiment broadcasting to four homes. And if I'm not mistaken, I think it was 1928, and it was a W1-something-something call sign. Like I said, I can't remember it at the moment to save my life, but they really boasted about, pioneering in television broadcast. And then I do remember some of the conversations with the old-timers repeating stories from days back when they did some actual live, the original soap operas in a barn. And if it was raining, sometimes the water would leak through the roof and hit some of the high-powered lights, and they would burst while they were, doing live sets. So, just some interesting stuff that's gone on in the history there. So kind of neat. With that, I'll say 7-3, and I'll back out. KD2FBM, back to net control.
KD2FBM, Kevin, thank you. Alrighty, KD2JWC, net control for the Black River Valley Service Net. Are there any other comments, queries, or late check-ins at this time? Come now, please.
WAT with a parting shot, I guess. WAT.
BC2WI with another tidbit.
WA2U? And then KC2WI, go ahead, guys.
Yeah, okay, well, Pete got the bonfire going, but I'm going to have to go and sit by Kathy and listen to some TV. But anyways, Pete, leave up to you. Kevin James, if you're listening, a little bit of trivia, and I think it was kind of neat. We have history in our own area here. I can't put a date on this exactly, but... WMCR, which used to be Warm Broadcasting, 106.3, for most of its existence, and of course I know it had 1600, I think that transmitted like 20 watts at night or something, but only until very recently, and I'm saying recently, 10, 15 years, was in magnificent mono, even though everybody was doing FM stereo. And back in the 70s, early 70s, WOUR 96.9, which was owned by Bunkville Communications or whatever, they were doing quadraphonic, especially when the Who came out with Quadrophenia and stuff, and they had a lot of quadraphonic stuff that they would play. And there was another station that did a WODZ or something. But, even all that tech stuff was going on and the... The Dolby calibration tone at noon and midnight on 96.9. WMCR remained in magnificent mono for years and years, and I know people that had test equipment that would calibrate their equipment to that, because that station, the engineer, who I knew, it always had it right on the money. So that was kind of neat. Good old 106.3 went off at, I don't know what time, early in the evening. It came on every day at 6 a.m. with some farmer report or whatever. WATU, back to that, and I'll get out of here, but I'll listen now.
WA2U, thank you. Okay, KC2WI, Pete, go ahead.
Okay, well, I got a comment on WOUR back in the 70s. You know, that was the station to listen to up in Lake Pleasant. At least, maybe if you were over in the Speculator side or in the other side of the mountain, you might get something from the Albany area. But we had WOUR, and that was, you listened to the Allman Brothers and all the hot new stuff, so to speak, on WOUR. But, the TV... I'm on the Wikipedia thing. 1928, September 11th, 1928, they became the first radio station in the world to televise a drama on a separate, on separate radio channels, and really they only, sent it 3 miles away, and reporters and so on watched it, but anyway. Yeah. You know, it's kind of sad in a way that all that, you know, breakthrough stuff was done by GE and it's all gone. And the other thing about the tower, I haven't been down there in years, but I remember seeing that tower by the thruway. And here's a little interesting tidbit. In 1941 is when they changed to from 790 to 810 kilohertz. And it says in 1942, during World War II, a concrete wall was built around the base of the tower to prevent saboteurs from shooting out the base insulator on the tower and taking the station off the air. So, you know, and it was the flagship station of GE and broadcasting until 1983, and then it was sold to so-and-so and blah, blah, blah. But they do also mention so here it is. WRGB-TV signed on as W2XB in 1928, and Pioneering FM, W2OXY, signed on in 1940. So there you go. KC2WI, that's enough of that, but we could get on the air some other time and talk about some of that stuff. KC2WI.
Any other comments, queries, or late check-ins at this time? Come now, please. Okay, hearing none, I will now close the Black River Valley Service Net at 21:41 local time and return the frequency to regular amateur use. I want to thank everyone that checked in tonight at KD2FPM Kevin James, N2PFM George, KC2WI Pete, WA2U John, KC2NBU Ray. Thank you everyone for your check-ins. Glad to hear from you. 7-3 all, and I will catch you tomorrow night. This is KD2JABC, and I will be clear.
KC2NBU, good evening, no traffic.
Roger, KC2NBU, good evening, Ray, thanks for checking in. Calling for Octane, all stations, without traffic, you're welcome.
This is KD2FPM. I'll be clearing this repeater through the Echolink system. As always, thank you for the use of Echolink. It's much appreciated. Hopefully catch you guys again tomorrow night. And it was a great net tonight discussing some radio history. That was really cool. So until next time, 7-3, KD2FPM is clear.
This is Papa Uniform 3, Charlie Delta Tango, from Brazil. Contest?
TWI.